Good morning, good people. This is Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning I am joined in the studio by Ms. Shawn Smash Jett, who is an activist in the fight against sex trafficking of children. Ms. Smash Jett, Shawn, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I wanted to have you because I know you just attended the National Coalition to End Sexual Exploitation. And I wanted you to share with our listeners what that conference was about and what came out of it.
Well, the conference was literally about coming together for all the different organizations that provide resources, stump for, advocate for bills. Anybody who is anybody who is everybody who is part of human sex trafficking, as well as sexual assault, so many different things was at this summit. Anything that has anything to do with sexually exploiting not only our children, but women in general, men, etc., was at this forum. And I was so excited to be a part of it. I learned so much. So one of the things that it does is it brings us together to not only say, okay, you're doing this great, but we found some new, because the ball is always moving. So when we find this out, we find that there's even more tools out there. People are coming up with more things to help us, resources for the girls and boys that we do end up rescuing, as well as just information on keeping ourselves healthy. And that was one of those things we'll talk about later. I kind of got in trouble for because I'm not really doing that part very well. The self taking care of, because I'm so busy trying to get everybody, you know, I'm on a mission.
You are on a mission, Shawn. And I share with people that there are people who work to end sex trafficking. And then there are people, to me, you're beyond the grassroots because you are on the ground. You're on the street and you literally rescue girls and boys who are on the street being trafficked.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is one of those things where someone would say, why on earth would you do that? You know, what would make you determined to say, I'm just going to put my life on the line like I'm the police, the GBI or something? No. It is just one of those things. I attend Kennesaw State University, and I was working on my doctorate in international policy and conflict management. And someone stepped in the room during a class time and said, we're from Wellspring Living. We're from all these different organizations, and we want to talk to you about human sex trafficking. And I thought, I kind of sat back in my seat like any other student, like, yeah, whatever. That's not really, you know, that's some international thing. That's not happening in Atlanta. And when they gave me the statistics for Atlanta, I sat up in my seat and I was like, I've been here over 20 something years. You's a lie. That's not happening in Atlanta. And I was poorly mistaken. Matter of fact, it was happening in epidemic proportions. And I said, well, I've got to do something. And at that time, I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought it was going to be something as simple. You know, they gave some strategies. I think they were pretty much there for donations to tug at the students' hearts and say, do something. But they had the simplest thing, which was to gather hotel products. So when people go to the hotel, those little products that we never use because we brought our own stuff, they said, just bring these to this area, to this teen home that's downtown. And if you bring that, then you'll probably get to see some of the teens that are being mentored there as well. And I thought, well, okay, that's simple enough. I can do that. I get to travel. I love to travel. I'm going all over the place. Let's do that. And as I start gathering these things, and I brought my little bag and took it down there, and I made the mistake of walking in the room where the teen homeless shelter was. And I made the mistake of sitting down and saying, hey, let me see what you're doing. You know, all bubbly, you know, still not thinking that human sex trafficking is really happening. And this young lady sat with me and I looked in her eyes, and it was a type of stare that she gave me, a kind of pain in her eyes that I couldn't describe, that I'll never forget. And she said, will you help me? And I'm looking at her like, I'm just a student. I, you know, and she said, listen, I'm really afraid to go back to where I'm going, but I don't have a place to stay. This is a shelter here. They let us come here. I'm trying to finish school. Will you help me? And being the mom that I am, I said yes before I realized, what did I just say yes to? And I then dove into her background and found out that she really was being trafficked, but going to school every day. And I was like, well, how is this happening? Don't they have some counselors? She hadn't told anyone. But she literally was being pimped out every day and still going to our classes at Grady High School. And I was like, what? I took a deep breath, and then I started pulling all of my folks together. And I said, did you guys know this is happening? They're like, no, this is not, you know, we're the milk and honey city. We're the city of civil rights. We're the city of advocacy. There can't be an epidemic like sex trafficking happening here. And so I got involved with another program that was answering the phones. You know, they were taking these calls. And then that's when I learned what Backpage was. I didn't even know what Backpage was. And if you ask anyone, most people are seeing this in the news that Backpage is shut down, but most people don't even know what it is.
So tell our listeners exactly what Backpage is and how Backpage actually contributed to the trafficking of young men and women in our communities.
Well, absolutely. Well, what I discovered was many of us know what Craigslist is. We've gone on Craigslist. We sell things. We see it on the news. Somebody tried to sell the shoes on Craigslist and they got in trouble. But you never heard of anything about Backpage. Why? Because Backpage primarily was set up for escorting, for different sex workers, for people meeting up for dates, a casual moment, you know, the new version of the classified aids for personals, but it was another version of Tinder, but they also were housing our young girls. And when I say housing, like they knew, it was no way that they didn't know what was happening on Backpage.com. And I want to say was happening because it has been shut down, praise the Lord. Last Friday, while we were at the summit, high ironic, the FBI agents went in and seized, shut it down, and arrested all 9 of the individuals that were a part of this. I want to call it an escapade, because who is bold enough to put a page, a website up that would then in turn have a place where buyers and men and women could go and purchase sex of not only people who want to have sex with them, but young girls who were being forced into prostitution.
And it was all legitimate. I mean, most people think that prostitution is illegal.
Right.
But this was a legal way that people were, as you say, purchasing sex.
Right. And you could not hold up for the demand of the amount of people. And I work with some really good organizations, both Wellspring Living, shout out to Out of Darkness and Street Grace. Street Grace is one of my favorites as well, because they were the ones who said, this is what's happening. We have a place that you can go. And they made fake ads up on there. And Bob is just amazing with this, and they've got some new technology things happening that we can't really bring out because we're trying to stay ahead of the game. But they literally had ads placed along with a couple of organizations that we are familiar with, who placed those ads, and I would go and answer the phone at one of the other organizations, and you could not answer the phone fast enough for the amount of people who were calling in requesting young and tender girls, which meant they didn't want an older woman. They didn't want a regular. They wanted a virgin-like girl. And I just couldn't believe it myself that the phones would not stop ringing. Like, there weren't enough of us sitting around to answer the phone to answer the girls. And when you see these things on places like 60 Minutes and 48 Hours and whatnot, you're like, that's not happening. To Catch a Predator. I mean, we all watch that show. It's like, how stupid are they? But it literally was happening so frequently that we couldn't house enough. We couldn't get enough volunteers.
So Backpage had to know that this was happening.
Oh, yeah.
why were they able to operate so long as a legal entity? And why are professional or adult sex workers complaining?
Well, I will answer that in two parts. So one of the reasons that they were allowed to operate in this way was due to the fact that there was a communications bill that was out there. There was a loophole that kind of left them, you know, everybody will find a bill, read it real good, get their attorney, and then go through the loopholes. So there was a loophole in a bill. And I, off the top of my head, I can't remember if it was 230 or 280 or something like that. Whatever the bill was, it allowed that it was a communications act that allowed them to be able to communicate as a third party. So they weren't placing the ads. So that's how they were like, well, we're not placing these ads. These are people who are placing it. This is third party. And we had to shut that loophole down because now we know that you know and you've been told for years. And girls and boys have come out to say, listen, this is what this man did to me. He took me over in this corner. He took some pictures that I didn't ask him to take. And then he posted my picture and then advertised me on there. And Backpage had to approve the ad, first of all. So if you're the approving, you had to approve that this is a little girl. You know what it is. And you know in the wording what it is. So
and so that seems like they were in a against the loophole because, like you said, they had to know.
But they were making millions and millions and millions of dollars on it. So it's like one of those things like, okay, we're going to get away with this as long as we can. And I was looking at when Backpage was shut down a few months, maybe last year, when this came up the first time and they thought, okay, we're going to beat this. Because this is not the first time the federal government shut them down. And sex workers were upset back then because it is one of those things where instantly your income, you know, and that is the legal sex workers who were keeping themselves from being out on the street being prostitutes. They were legally working, figuring in, hey, I am a dominatrix. I'm all kind of things. And I am willing to, for a price, yes. I'm willing to have sex with you and your couple. And so those particular folks were like, wait a minute, this is my job. You know, you're shutting down my industry. You're shutting down my income.
But Backpage has evolved. As you mentioned, it was shut down before. Mm-hmm. It found the loophole. It came back. Backpage actually used to be printed on the back page of tabloids and newspapers back in the day. Mm-hmm. So it has always been this place for sex and extra kind of things, always. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, it just became Backpage.com, and it was pretty much the same thing.
Right.
But I know the sex workers have to understand that it's two different challenges here.
Right.
And that even adult sex workers are not condoning, you know, the sexual trafficking of young children and young girls and boys.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I understand, okay, they're dropping income, but don't they understand that this is preventing other young girls, young men from getting caught in something that is exploitive?
Right. And that's one of those things where you would have on both sides of the aisles. And we've been sitting up watching the blogs and because people are tagging me and all types of things because they've seen me on my social media talking about how wonderful this is that it's been shut down. So then there are folks who are in that industry who are tagging me, hey, she was a part of this, you know. And I'm trying to see both ends of what they're saying, you know, that one, pimps and as well as Johns who were not good to them. They had different lists that they were on that prevented them from, you know, they could find a way to say, okay, this person is an abuser. You know, we have no way of knowing this person really could possibly kill me type thing. And so they are feeling like we shut that off and now we're leaving them out here in the open. But my thing is, it's not like prostitution has not been going on. And then there's entities like Las Vegas where it's legal every day. So it's not like prostitution hasn't been happening since the...
Without Backpage. They can find another way.
Right. So that's my thing to them is prostitution's been happening. Y'all been figuring out ways to get people. There's too many apps out here. There's too many other things that you do not have. I scroll down Instagram, and I can see enough to know that Instagram has a part of some things themselves, but they're not sitting up exploiting girls, young girls. And even on Periscope, sometimes it's some questionable stuff that'll be allowed to be on Periscope. So there's plenty of way. As long as there's an internet, there's a way for sex workers to find sex work.
And there's Tinder. There's Snapchat. There's definitely other ways. I also wanted to ask you, Sean, about your book that is for parents.
Oh, nice.
Because so often, as you said, the young lady that you met was going to high school every day and turning tricks every night.
Right.
Not sure where the parents were, but a lot of times parents are just busy. They're working.
Yes.
They're doing their own thing. They're hoping that the kids are safe. But your book is for parents, and it walks parents through what to look for.
Absolutely.
And, you know, some of the code and some of the, because I didn't know, you know, when I've heard other people who advocate for exploitive children, if a young girl calls her boyfriend her husband, or I'm wifing with someone, that doesn't mean what we think it means.
Right.
And I was shocked.
Yeah.
So this book for parents, could you share what it helps parents really with?
Well, what I found out, Kipling, is that I go out and speak all the time with the different organizations. I'm called on to speak at so many different forums. And the thing that they would ask me, everyone, if there was a parent in the audience, they'd be like, well, wait a minute, how do I protect my child? What did you do differently? How did you keep your child safe? And I explained to them, just similarly to the young girl that we talked about, I spoke at a school out in the Conyers, Covington area, and the same thing, as I'm going out and speaking, there's always a girl or two after my conversation will say, wait a minute, I think I'm being trafficked. And I was like, what? Even very recently, literally one of those situations where I gave my speech and I'm saying, this is what sex trafficking looks like. Let us know if you're doing this, that, and the other. And a young girl came to me in tears after it was over with. And she said, Ms. Sean, I'm pretty sure I'm being trafficked. And I said, why? She said, well, I met a boy about 4 months ago. He moved to our area. So the pimps are smart enough to move to the area when they see you on Instagram posting. He liked my picture on Instagram, but then he moved. He was in my area at my school, and he came into my school. We started dating. She said, I'm 16, so we were having sex. She said, and we have sex every day after school. She said, now my parent doesn't get home till 6:30 because of the traffic. She said, but after 2 months, he said to me, baby, this is so good that I really want you to be able to share this with my boys. And I went, what do you mean? And she said, he told her, she would call him daddy and bae, baby dad, you know, and all this other stuff. And she said, he then introduced her to one of his friends who then paid him $20. And for the last 2 months, she had been sleeping with other friends of his every day. So she was making about $80 a day, four different boys. Sometimes they'd do a train situation, and other times they were just taking their turn, but they had to be out of her mother's house. Now imagine this as a parent. So you know I'm taking this all in, right? Like, as a parent, I'm like, what?
That is horrifying. Sean.
2 months. 2 months she's every day and not knowing. She said that he told her he loved her and that this is what you do in a relationship. And so it's one of those situations where you have to teach parents how to talk to their kids. If your daughter is 16 and she didn't look like, you know, anything, any other kid that you would think. She looked like a regular 16. She had a ponytail in the top of her head. And it wasn't a weave, a wig, or nothing, just a real light ponytail. And I'm sitting there with tears in my eyes because I realize she's being pimped and doesn't even know it. And she's going to school every day and sleeping with four boys every day, not being fast, not none of that. Like, I did my homework to check and talk to the counselors and whatnot. No one knew, not a teacher, not a coach, not a nothing. She kept it a secret because he said, this is our business. This between me and you. And you, and then she wasn't even making the money. He buy her a little something every once in a while, but he was taking the $80 a day. And so I said, I've got to put together something for parents to be able to identify what sex trafficking looks like. If they see their child coming home with different things and buying different things, or if they're acting different, if they're no longer wanting to participate in sports and do things that they will want to do, if they want to stay in their room all the time, if they're trying to stay close, I want to be able to give them some tools. One, my daughter knows, and she fusses to this day, that I shut her down. And I shut her down because I knew what I did at 13 and 14 years old. And it's unfortunate that, you know, my parents are finding this out now that I'm on social media talking about this. But I pretty much went with my husband every day after school and I was doing all kind of stuff. And I knew if I could get away with that, and my parents thought I was the good kid, you know, straight A student, and they never knew, it wasn't going to happen for my child. So I put a camera in the front door, at the back. I had texting, and this is when Verizon had parent chaperone. When it first came out, texts would come to me and texts would come to her, but she never knew that I was getting her texts in and out. Then I made sure that when something did come that was unfamiliar or was a little something, I couldn't speak on it right then. I had to use, now parents, use your smarts. Now don't lose your mind, because you're going to see some stuff that you don't want to see. But we have control. We bought them those smartphones. We gave them the access to the internet, which is now causing harm to them. A lot of parents don't know that people are Snapchatting and DMing their girls and talking to them out of the hand and sliding up, and we have to learn how to cut that off. So I've given parents a guide that says, here's some of the things to look for. Look for some of this coding. Look for some of these things that your child is doing, you know, some strange stuff, you know, or she has a phone that someone else has bought her. That's the new thing. See, the boobays, they're now buying a phone. And why they're buying a phone is because they can track you. They buy them an iPhone and they can see everything that they're saying on that iPhone, because that iPhone is connected to their account. They can see when you go here and there. So I want parents to understand that their kids have a lot going on that they're not aware of. And so it's like, I did not, my poor child, I told her when I dropped her off at University of Alabama on the way, I said, I have a confession. I've got to tell you what I've been doing. But I used the information that I knew to talk to her about it. But I didn't do it right then, because you can't just pop up and be like, well, you know, you shouldn't be doing it. I used the information to talk to her weeks later about something that I saw in a text message. And then I used my community, my sisters. So when she would do something, or she'd say, I'm going to the latest party, or I'm going to sneak out and this, that, and other, I'd call my sister, hey, come get Lex. And then somehow she was going to the mall when she was really supposed to be going where she was trying to get to sneak out. I used my sources to come pick her up, and she never knew it.
To deflect things that were coming that you knew were not good things.
That will allow her now to make another decision, because her friends would say, oh, you didn't go with us. You being stuck up. No,
I had to go. Sean, this is such good information that all parents need to know. I mean, I am horrified that a young girl didn't realize that she was being trafficked and not getting anything out of it. That is just horrific.
Right.
For our listeners who want to know more about you, and I always tell people, there are people who work in the grassroots, mm-hmm. and then there's Sean, because Sean works on the street. You know, these are not grassroots. You really are putting your life in danger to save our young people. But for our listeners who want to get more information about Sean and what you're doing, and to get the books that you are creating, how can they follow you and get in touch with you?
Very simply, SeanSmashJet.com is my website. You can hit me on any social media, same thing, or Wealthy Divas is my other brand. If you go to my Instagram on Wealthy Divas, there's a link there that has everything that I'm doing, books, traveling, speaking. If you need me to come to your school, your PTA, your company, because honestly, there's a whole nother conversation that we could have about the corporate men who I found who are purchasing young ladies. And I would be glad to come to your corporation, have some conversations about our men who are leaving at 12 and going to purchase men over on the corner and then coming back like nothing had happened. And even if they get arrested for this solicitation, they're out before you even know they came home from after work because it's a slap on the wrist. So that's a whole nother situation.
And that reminds me, we talk a lot about the young girls, but our young boys are being treated the exact same way.
Absolutely. I've rescued a 9-year-old boy from his Xbox. Yes, Xbox and PlayStation, they're on my target list next. So just so you know, your next Xbox and PlayStation, because they're leaving our girls and boys open to strangers talking to them without identifying and telling parents that, hey, there's people who can show up at your house who you don't know who are taking our kids. So I'm on the next mission, but my main thing is ending the demand. If we need to have a conversation with our young boys, starting from elementary school all the way. See, we tell our young girls, close your legs. But we tell our boys, as soon as they get 18, we take them to the strip club. We do all types of things. We say, open it up, get all you can get. But we tell our girls to close their legs. We need to start having a conversation with our young men that it's not okay. It is not okay to purchase sex, period. And it starts when we take them to the strip club and say, here's a dollar, let's throw it on up. But girls are being trafficked right there in the strip clubs. I get more rescues out of there as well.
Sean Smash Jet, I just want to thank you. I mean, we need more people like you who are on the ground, who are not just advocating, but who are really making a change. And again, you can follow her at Sean Smash Jet, exactly how it sounds, SMASH-JETT.
Yep.
Sean, again, thank you so much. Thank you for coming to share this information with our listeners. And thank you for helping to bring down Backpage.com.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.